Well, it has to be the presidential election. I mean, that's the most important election, not only in the U.S., but in the world. And obviously, Florida was in the middle of the gun sight. I think Dick and I both said, please, this time, somebody win it by enough that we don't have hanging chads. And I think we did have an election where Florida did take a little bit of a beating, but not much. There wasn't really any problems with it. There was a problem in the result, as far as I was concerned. But
I thought it was perfectly fine.
I made a speech the other day, and I said I had a bad year last week.
Well, Dick Batchelor, are you going to surprise me, or are you picking the election, too?
No, the election was a big surprise. Parenthetically, the election, I think the big surprise was the president getting 48% of the Cuban vote. Unprecedented. That's a big story. But locally, I have to give you my story. Chris Dorwith, Speaker Designate, gets defeated. That's a big story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, and if we're looking at, say, the local one, to me, the other big, big, big story was the incredible job the Democratic Party did in organizing and turning out the vote, and how in Orange County, they just basically swept into office and with people that weren't unknown and beat good people. These were not people that did. They did a heck of a job of organizing and riding that wave.
Sure, you mentioned that Dorwith race, that kind of an unknown defeat there for Chris Dorwith.
It was. I mean, a candidate ran against him. Keep in mind that he's a former firefighter. It was paying a lawyer, and the state party tried to get him not to run. The trial lawyers tried to convince him not to run.
Mike Clellan.
Yeah, but it was very unusual for him to get the money in there. Everybody tried to dissuade him, but it was a big, big surprise. And part of it might have been the sweep, but he's had some Chris Dorwith had more baggage than Samsonite.
Wow, Dick Batchelor, you got me. Well, let's look legislatively, and let's also bring in a bit of a national perspective here, because, of course, the president's health care law has been reaffirmed by the Supreme Court. And, of course, now it's up to the state Republican-controlled legislature to try to implement it in Florida. Lawmakers have to consider whether or not to expand the state's Medicaid program, whether or not to create those online exchanges where insurance can be shopped for. Lou Fry, what do you see as loggerheads looking forward to what the legislature might have to tackle?
Well, the first thing you've got to look at is what's going to happen in Washington and with the fiscal cliff. I mean, that's really going to dictate a lot of what is going to happen, because it's not only going to have an incredible impact financially, but psychologically and philosophically it's going to have an impact. So it's really pretty difficult to tell. You tell me what's going to happen on that and what will be thrown into that, and I think I can give you probably a pretty good scenario.
Dick Batchelor, is that part of the calculus you think in Tallahassee?
Well, Governor Scott and the Republican leadership, we're not going to do Affordable Care Act. In fact, there's a proposed constitutional amendment. We're going to try to override the Supreme Court. No, 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 no way. And now there's an epiphany. There's called an election. And now they're beginning to cooperate, and they are holding hearings. There's a Senate committee and a House committee. They're looking at how to implement it. The real key is going to be, though, is the cost. Because Florida could get $20 billion in Medicaid monies over the next 10 years with only having to put in $1.5 billion match. A lot of us, I think, they should do that. The question is whether or not the legislature wants to do that. So the price tag on the Medicaid enrollment increase is going to be the biggest bone of contention.
Lou Fry, what do you think this means, though, for Republican Governor Rick Scott? Previously, he rejected federal funds for big projects like high-speed rail. But here we see for this implementing of Obamacare, he's in a position where he kind of feels obligated to take that money.
Well, the first place, this is the fact that somebody took a position is going to be a little different. Should be a no shock to anyone. I mean, you look at many of the Republicans who were talking about not taxing the rich and have been talking about taxing the rich. So, I mean, you've got that going in there. Secondly, Scott wants to be reelected. And there's a lot of good things in the Obama bill, like, living with your parents or predetermined conditions. Mm-hmm. Many things are there that anybody would, I think, agree to put in. So they're going to cherry pick in terms of that and avoid some of the fiscal things. So I think that it's going to be an interesting session, because the question I have regarding Scott is how much leeway and leverage he has, especially is he going to have opposition in the primary? If he does, he's going to have to act one way. If he doesn't, he can act another way. He's going to have to be really to the right to win the Republican nomination.